Police arrested more than 4,000 people during the weekend of protests, both peaceful and violent, in dozens of cities across the country. For many, it was a reminder of the civil unrest of the 1960s and the protests after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. We're joined now by historian and professor Peniel Joseph, director of the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas, Austin, and author of the book The Sword and the Shield, The Revolutionary Lives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Peniel Joseph, welcome.
Glad to be here, Jeremy.
Well, and first of all, just what has been your reaction to what we've seen over the last several days?
Well, I think like many, I've been very saddened by the death of George Floyd and watching that video. And then to see the protest, especially the peaceful protest, was really a pleasure to see. Now, as those protests turned violent, really through a combination of at times police brutality, but also at times people who have their own agendas, that's been really sad to see. But I think the larger context here is that people are so fed up with not just police brutality and the criminal justice system, but with really decades of neglect and disinvestment and brutality and dehumanization in predominantly African-American communities, Latinx mm-hmm. communities, Native American reservations. So I think we're seeing really an outrage being expressed by people of all colors. One of the things that's most striking is the multiracial, multicultural, multigenerational nature of the protesters.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the main message of the protesters is getting out across the country, or do you think that some of the more violent incidents are distracting from that message for the vast majority of Americans?
Well, I think we live in such a polarized country, Jeremy, in such a polarized time. The message is loud and clear. It's a message of social justice. It's a message of racial justice. But depending on your perspective, if you're a law and order advocate, and law and order here being just a code word for the criminalization and the incarceration of African Americans that's been used from Richard Nixon all the way to Donald J. Trump, then you're going to think that these protests are an example that we need a bigger criminal justice system. We need more jails. We need more police. So I think what we're seeing is at least a cultural civil war in the United States that at times has spilled over into actual physical violence.
You're an historian. In your view, how does this compare to the unrest of 1968 when people turned out to protest in more than 100 cities after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yeah, it's comparable not on the scale of violence, Jeremy, but it's comparable in the sense of you see a palpable tension in the air. And what's also different, vastly different, is that the pandemic has left 40 million people unemployed. So we have a mm-hmm. bigger wealth gap than we did in 1968, a bigger empathy gap. And it's not just between Black, white, Latinx, other people, but it's between those who are wealthy, those who are elites, and really those who are suffering and immiserated, what we sometimes call an underclass. I think the biggest difference between then and now is that you've got movements like the Black Lives Matter movement that really have a very concrete policy agenda to try to not only just push through anti-racist policies, but to think about things like guaranteed income, healthcare for all, and really redistributing the resources that we put into our criminal justice system into communities. The Black Panthers discussed this. We think about the Panthers usually as this group that was armed, but the social side of the Panthers had free breakfast programs, free lunch programs. So this is really a problem of race and poverty and punishment that so many people are outraged about in the country.
Robert O'Brien, the president's national security advisor, was asked yesterday by CNN's Jake Tapper if there was systemic racism in U.S. law enforcement, which many people in this country believe that there is. Here's what Robert O'Brien said.
No, I don't think there's systemic racism. I think 99.9% of our law enforcement officers are great Americans, and many of them are African-American, Hispanic, Asian. They're working in the toughest neighborhoods. They've got the hardest jobs to do in this country, and I think they're amazing, great Americans, and they're my heroes.
Peniel Joseph, what's your response to that?
Well, I think that's the absolutely wrong response, but I do think this, that we're faced with this national racial and economic crisis, but we have a generational opportunity to do a few things. To one, acknowledge the depth and breadth of structural racism, of white supremacy in all of our institutions, and to do something about it. The criminal justice system is really a gateway to a panoramic system of oppression in the United States that impacts our public schools, our public spaces. It impacts our healthcare, our employment opportunities. So it really is this huge, huge problem. And when he says that they work in the toughest neighborhoods in the United States, we can transform those tough neighborhoods into really bucolic, great communities if we shift the investments that we've made in criminal justice into the actual people that we're trying to contain and punish. And that's why so many people are out on the streets. The smaller criminal justice system that we have in the United States, the better it's going to be for these neighborhoods and communities. And the bigger we ramp up this rhetoric of law and order, the bigger we continue to deny the racism in our institutions, the more uprisings and the more violence and the more dissatisfaction and disappointment in the United States and its institutions, and really American democracy and its institutions, we're going to see.
We heard a lot of reactions over the weekend from police and city leaders around the country, including in Atlanta. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms criticized the violence that she was seeing. Listen.
So what I see happening on the streets of Atlanta is not Atlanta. This is not a protest. This is not in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. This is chaos. A protest has purpose.
What do you think of her words there, Peniel Joseph?
Well, I'd say that one, the looting is not the problem. I'd say that the violence that we're seeing comes straight from the top. The president of the United States has inflamed pre-existing racial division in this country through an embrace of white supremacists. So when we see the president calling for law and order, the president saying, tweeting out, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, of course we're going to see chaos in this context. Of course, we've already heard reports and seen reports that right-wing forces are doing graffiti and defacing buildings and institutions. So there is chaos, but that chaos is not coming from the people. It's actually coming from the government. And what's so interesting is Mayor Lance Bottoms, who I admire, she's evoking Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I study Dr. King, and Dr. King called rioting the language of the unheard. And he was assassinated on April 4th, 1968, trying to bring people together towards a poor people's campaign that was going to guarantee Black citizenship and Black dignity, not just for the African-American community, but for all communities, including a guaranteed income. And King's notion of citizenship meant these fundamental rights of health care, of voting, of a decent place to live. So people should not just evoke King vis-a-vis nonviolence and not talk about the truly transformative world that he wanted us all to live in.
You mentioned King being assassinated in April of 1968. Just a number of months after that, Richard Nixon was elected president. Do you think that President Trump is looking at the reaction to the riots in 1968 and saying, this could be useful to me politically?
Absolutely. One word of caution for everyone who thinks that in the context of the pandemic, in the context of these real political rebellions that we're seeing across the United States right now, it means that there's going to be a changing of the guard in November. Richard Nixon, Hubert Humphrey, George Wallace were the three candidates for president in 1968. And forces on the left were so divided that Hubert Humphrey ends up losing a very, very close election. After Nixon is inaugurated in January of 1969, many on the left felt that his policies would be so repressive that they'd be able to get a progressive person in like George McGovern in 1972. That turned out not to be the case. So, but I would say that the difference between now and then is that you see the multiracial character of the protesters. We have a generational opportunity to squarely confront this history and to move in a new and more progressive direction.
That is Peniel Joseph, who is the director of the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.